So guys, today I wanted to come to you to talk about dreams, about following your dreams, and specifically the fear of following your dreams. I think everybody here sitting here has a dream that they're trying to go after. Many of you are filmmakers. I am a filmmaker. I am an artist, and wanted to go down the road of following your dreams and what makes us not follow our dreams. I want to ask you guys a question. Have any of you sold your soul to the devil to make your dream come true? How about have you sold your soul to the devil for the mere opportunity, possibly, for your dream to come true? That's exactly what I did. And my devil, his name was Jimmy. And Jimmy was an ex-rehabilitated gangster. And he wanted to hire me to direct a $20 million feature film about his life. And when he showed up, I'm like, well, this is my shot. This has to be it. I mean, this is too magical not to be. So not only did I sign on the dotted line with my blood, even though there might have not been a physical contract, I did sign away my soul for the mere opportunity to make that dream come true. And by the time I realized what had happened, it was too late. I was already in the web of this guy. So, you know, that went through about a year. And during that year of my life, I was verbally abused pretty much on a daily basis. My life was threatened almost all the time by him. It's like going to work with Joe Pesci from Goodfellas. It's like you just never knew who you were going to get. What I realized is after that experience, my mind, my subconscious mind, created some very powerful mindsets in my head where I literally associated pain to my dream on a subconscious level. On a conscious level, I was still going after it. On a conscious level, I was like, I'm Tarantino, I'm gonna go make my next movie, I gotta make a feature, boom, boom, boom. But for whatever reason, every single time I tried to go after that dream, I would put obstacles in front of myself. I would say, well, I need this camera. I need this camera to make this movie. Or I need this actor. I'm like, I can't do this movie for less than $1 million or $3 million or $5 million. I have to. So I kept kind of throwing obstacles in front of myself. And even when I get close, I would surround myself with people who I knew were toxic, who I knew wouldn't help me do what I needed to do. And it was all self-sabotage because I realized something very, very, very important about the brain. It does not care about your happiness. Your mind is not there for your happiness at all. Your mind is there to protect you from the lion around the corner and is there to avoid pain and get pleasure. So when you understand that mindset, that understanding of that truth, you can start shifting your mind because that inner talk is so, so ridiculously powerful. So I got two stories of how the mind works, and it was with animals. And I think it's something that we do all the time. When an elephant is trained, when they're babies, they're tied by a rope, thin rope, to a stake in the ground. And when they're young, they can't pull that stake out. But as they grow, that doesn't change. The stake is still a little stake, and that rope is still a little rope. And you wonder, how can this 5-ton animal not break through such a thin rope? Because in his mind, he can't. Because he was programmed when he was young that associates that rope to a prison that he cannot break through, though he could easily snap it in a second. The second example is the piranha story. I don't know if you guys know about an experiment that they did, I think it was in Harvard, with piranha. Now, if you don't know what piranha are, they're very nasty little fish. So they put them in a fish tank, and half the fish tank are piranha, and the other half is the food, other fish that they would eat. But they put a clear barrier in between them. And when they first dump the two fishes in, that piranha are going at this barrier with all sorts of power, and I got to get to my food. Well, after a while, they stop, and they just hang out on their side. So then the scientists are like, well, let's move that barrier and see what happens. The piranha died because they did not go and eat the food that they wanted to, because in their minds, there was a block right there. And that's what we do to ourselves every single day. We have our own blocks, our own mindsets, our own obstacles that stop us from getting to the dreams that we want to get to. Filmmakers, non-filmmakers, artists, non-artists, anything that you're trying to get, your brain is trying to stop you from doing it because, one, it's uncomfortable, and the brain doesn't like things that are uncomfortable. They want things that are in their comfort zone. I always tell people, I'm going to do an experiment in the crowd here. I'm going to say something, and I know exactly how every single buddy is going to react here. Has anyone here taken a cold shower? Most people's anus is puckered when I said that. Because that's the first, it's a very uncomfortable feeling. So I started doing cold showers months ago, and it's fantastic, and I can talk all about the health benefits and things like that. But what I wanted to talk about is the psychology behind it. Because that first time I walked into the cold shower, every single thing my brain was saying is, stop this. This is insane. Why are you creating this pain for yourself? It's the same thing it says when you're going after a new goal or a new dream or a new thing that you're trying to go after. Your brain talks you out of it. Why? Because it's out of the comfort zone. So if you want to break down the ego a bit, and you want to break down that, take some cold showers. Because if you can break it through a cold shower, all of a sudden that voice doesn't have as much power. So it took me about 15 years to make my first feature film, because it was that long that the subconscious mind had me on hold, on lock. And I was attached to another project with a big screenwriter, big screenwriter, and a big producer, and we were going to do a movie for $2 or $3 million, and it was amazing, and I was doing castings already and everything, and all of a sudden, it's gone. Again. And I just stopped for a second after that happened, and I said, I'm 40 years old. Tomorrow, I'm going to wake up, and I'll be 70. I can't keep doing this anymore. I'm like, I'm going to go make my movie. And I did. 30 days later, I shot my first feature. I said, I'm not going to even give my mind a second to think about this. I'm going to be so crazy, I'm just going to go out and make my movie. And that movie was with a friend of mine. It was called This Is Meg. And that movie, when I made it in 8 days for about $5,000, and that movie was sold to Hulu. It was sold internationally. My audience is like a cult favorite within the people who follow me, because it's kind of an example of what you can do when you just shut up and get out of your own way. And then the second movie I did shortly thereafter was the movie that played here at this festival called On the Corner of Ego and Desire. And that film was even nuttier than the first one, because I did it for about $3,000. And I shot it at the Sundance Film Festival. No one has ever shot a movie at the Sundance Film Festival while the festival's going on. And I shot that movie in about 4 days, 36 hours. And it was about filmmakers trying to sell their movie at Sundance and all the ridiculousness that we do as filmmakers. And that movie is about to be released, but it got played in many festivals around the world and played here. And my audience that I went after for it really loves it, which is filmmakers. And I wanted to show not only my audience, but anybody as an example of, like, if you just put your mind to it and get out of your own way, you can make anything you want come true. I want you guys to get out of your own heads. I think we are our own worst enemies. I know a lot of people here, and I know myself, might have had or might have low self-esteem. I'm not worth it. I can't do it. And you start telling all these stories to yourself. But you got to change that story. Because low self-esteem is just because you are comparing yourself to somebody else. If I compare myself to Stanley Kubrick, I'm going to be depressed. I'm never going to get out of my house and ever shoot a movie. If I compare myself to David Fincher, Chris Nolan, Steven Spielberg, James Cameron, Martin Scorsese, I'll never, ever, ever do anything. Because they're gods, they're masters, they're high craftsmen. But if you compare yourself to the version of yourself that was yesterday, that's someone who has good self-esteem. That's someone who believes in themselves. I mean, how many people here tell themselves a story of, I can't do this because I'm not good enough? We all tell ourselves these stupid stories. And I love this quote from Robin Sharma, who says, most people die at 20, but are buried at 90. And it's so true. Most of us give up early on in our lives, and we go for the job, we go for the money or the security, and we give up on the dream. And we don't do what we're here to do. I believe that all of us are here to tell a story and to do something that makes you happy. Because the people who are the most successful in the world are generally happiest. I've met a lot of billionaires who are depressed. I've met, in this room, oddly enough, Robin Williams, and I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Williams 3 months before he passed. And what I found so amazing about Mr. Williams when I met him is that he wasn't on. He wasn't, you know, the guy that was trying to make jokes. He was a guy at a farmer's market with his wife. And yet I could feel this kind of kinetic energy that was literally spilling off of him. I never met a human being with that energy in my life. And he was so insecure. His self-esteem was on the floor. His wife was telling him, I was telling him how much of a fan I was of his new show and his movies, and his wife was literally telling him, you see, it's good. People like what you're doing. And I was shocked. I mean, this is someone from the exterior that had everything. And yet, the story that he told himself was he wasn't good enough. I've met so many people that do that to themselves. I'll leave you with a quote by the master, who is Joseph Campbell, who said, the treasure that you seek is in the cave that you're afraid to walk into. So I don't want you to walk into that cave. I want you to run in there as fast as humanly possible. Thanks so much, guys.